Hello, everyone, again, and welcome to the podcast. It is Tuesday, February the 16th of 2021. Joanne with you for a little bit as we're going to dive into some scriptures. And first of all, let me tell you, I'm sitting here wrapped up in a blanket with a hoodie on. The hood is over my head. My hands are kind of cold as we have had our power out in this winter storm. So I've been talking to some of my friends. Thankfully, their power is coming back on and they're starting to warm up a little bit. I've been keeping logs on the fireplace, but I've run out of coffee and no way to heat it up or make more. So praying right now for the power to come back on soon. But you know what? Even in the midst of this winter mess, I sat down to do radio this morning and the Lord just poured out something fresh and new and unexpected. So I want to give him all the praise, the honor, and the glory for that. And as well, I've been waiting on new music. Here we are in the second half of February and just coming out of 2020, did not see the new music coming into the lineup in the radio programming. So today it was like I had three new songs or four every hour. And what that means for me, I get excited, is because the music that we play, it contains a message of truth. It's from the Word of God. And so that means I get to spend some time unpacking all these messages that's come through the hearts of these artists and what God has inspired them to write. So I just love the fresh and the new that God brings us. It's like this new wave, just this new wind of the Spirit, you know, that fills us. And so God is always fresh and new. So I sat down to do the radio broadcast, and one of the first songs, it asked this question: who am I, God? You know, who am I that you would use me? The song says, I'm a train wreck. I'm a mess. You've seen the best and the worst of me. And immediately the Lord led me to some passages of scripture that talk about humbling ourselves before the Lord and, you know, just maybe emptying ourselves of pride and letting him refill us with himself. Okay, so that's kind of where we're going to go in the Word of God. This first scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, we're just these clay vessels. You know, we're on the potter's wheel. He is constantly shaping us and forming us. And sometimes he's cleaning out the inside. I was thinking about how Jesus said to the Pharisees, hey, you look great on the outside, but clean the inside of the cup. Get all that corruption out. And you know, it's when we're clean on the inside that the Holy Spirit can come in and fill us afresh. And then the power that flows through us, it's not of us. It's only of God. And I believe, you know, when people look at us, and they may know our mess, they may see the train wreck, they may know the best and the worst of us, but yet when they see the power of God operating through us and we're humble in heart, they know it's of God and it's not of us, because they know us. They know what we're like. This whole passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, you know, Paul says, you know, we've received this ministry. You know, we've received this from God. And he goes on to talk about in verses 10, it says, we're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live, we're always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. This death, you know, is the dying to our own desires. It's the dying to our own flesh so that Jesus can live in us. And I love this promise because he says it twice, that Jesus will be manifested in our body. He will be manifested in our mortal flesh. So maybe, you know, the more that we get out of the way, the more that he can manifest his power in us. Another verse of scripture that the Lord took me to is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm sorry, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. First 10. There we go. I am operating today off of battery power on my computer, on my phone. My husband has this really cool Milwaukee battery pack with the USB port, and I can plug my phone in. So I've done everything today off of Verizon internet and battery power as I'm waiting for electricity to come back on. So anyway, Paul was talking about the thorn in the flesh, wanting God to remove that thing in his life that kept him humbled. People speculate that it was a sickness. To me, it's clear. He says it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. See, even Paul knew that, you know, the tendency to get into pride with the abundance of revelations that he received, that humility was so important. And I've questioned this, you know, because Paul actually murdered Christians. You know, that kind of opened the door to some demonic trouble in his life. You know, sin just opens the door to some things. And you know, maybe, you know, I'm sure the Lord wanted him delivered of that thing. But Paul found this wisdom, you know, even in having this hard thing in his life. He said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul writes, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so Paul recognized the need, you know, just to admit his weakness. And as I was going through these scriptures, I felt like I needed to message some people and say, you know, I ask your forgiveness for presenting an image that appeared proud, you know, where I was relying on my own strength rather than, you know, relying on the Lord's strength in me. And I felt like the Lord was reminding me, you know, we say, God, I can't, but you can. Because your word says you will. And, you know, so there is a place where our faith is attached to the promises of God, knowing fully that God will do all that he said in his word that he will do. But he wants us to begin from that place of humility. God, I can't without you. You know, without you, this is impossible. And just to remember our dependence upon him and that humility of heart position, that it's not of us, it's of him. And I felt like the Lord just, you know, kind of took me back to that. And it's good. It feels good. It feels freeing, actually. Another verse the Lord just spoke is, you know, my goodness is nothing apart from you. I know there's nothing good in me apart from Jesus Christ in me. I mean, we all know in our own strength and our own power, man, we can blow it and we can make a mess of things. But our goodness comes from Jesus Christ, is from receiving his righteousness in us. And, you know, I was just so impressed with what God was speaking. And that he does want to show his power in us. It's his glory. It's his delight and joy to show his power in us. But he does it through the humble of heart. So the other thing, you know, about the humility of heart, people are actually drawn to the humility. And the pride kind of pushes people away. Even God says that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so, you know, we want others to see that humility of Christ in us. I never watched The Chosen last year when it came out, that mini series, and it's actually going to be expanded, I think, this year and in the years following with more episodes. There were 8 episodes of The Chosen last year, and I just never jumped on that bandwagon. But last night we watched the first 2 episodes, and both my husband and I, we were both seeing humility in those first 2 episodes. John saw it with one of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, but I saw it in a different way. because it shows Mary Magdalene being delivered of the seven demons. You know, Jesus came and delivered her. And so she had such a transformation of life that she was going to host a Shabbat dinner. You know, it's a Jewish practice that they would do every maybe Friday, Saturday, I guess Saturday evening. And so she was returning to, you know, her faith, and she had invited her friends to this Shabbat dinner. And then all of a sudden, two of Jesus' disciples show up, and then the door knocks again, and it's Jesus. Jesus has come to her Shabbat dinner. And so, of course, he comes in and he takes his seat at the table, and everyone just assumes because he is rabbi that he is going to lead the dinner. But he says, no, you do it. He says to Mary, you know, she's the one that has prepared. And so she reads over the Shabbat prayer. And you know what? As I was watching this, I was looking at Jesus as he just sat there and allowed her to lead that dinner. And I thought, oh, Jesus, that is just like you. You just see the humility of heart of Jesus and the joy, you know, as he sees one of his followers do what they're created to do. And so we see humility even in the Lord Jesus. And how beautiful that was depicted in that scene. If we go to Matthew 5, you know, Jesus comes on the scene to bring the kingdom, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And he sits down and he opens his mouth. And this is what pours out. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so this just has humility written all over it. And when Jesus announced the kingdom of God that had come, he began with humility, humility of heart. And I felt like this one verse 9 of Matthew 5, where it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, is there anyone we need to make peace with? Is there anyone we need to humble ourselves and go to them and make peace? And may the Lord lead us and guide us in our words and what that person needs to hear. And you know, maybe it's, you know, just feeling like, okay, I'm in a process, God, you know, you're working something out in me. Just trusting that what he has begun in us to cleanse us, he's going to bring to completion. Another passage of scripture I went to that just kind of builds on this is found in Philippians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 19, it says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, when our hands are dirty, you know, before the Lord, and we realize there's things in our heart, whether it's pride or whether it's, you know, we've presented an image of ourself, you know, of more of us, less of Christ. You know, we stand before the Lord and we feel like our hands are dirty. But Jesus has promised to deliver and cleanse us from those things. And when he does, I mean, we stand before him unashamed and with all boldness, because we know that we've done what he's asked us to do. And the good news is Christ will be magnified in our body. Bible promises that God always brings a resurrection when there is a death, you know, and sometimes dying to ourselves, it is so that the resurrection power of Christ may rest upon us and that God can do something fresh and new in us. Oh, let's see if we got any more. There was one more passage of scripture, and kind of felt like the Lord moved towards this idea is that he wants to do a new thing in us. And so it says my battery is running low. Better do it quick. So Revelation 21, God's doing a new thing. Isaiah, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? He also said, old things have passed away. All things become new. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then this is Revelation 21, where John writes, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So maybe God's just wanting to do a new work in us. Maybe it begins with humility. Maybe it begins with letting him cleanse the inside and receiving that, God, I can't, but you can. And then attach our faith to his word, because your word promises you will. So may he do that for all of us today. Going to go ahead and close out and just say, let it be so, Lord. Let it be according to your word in us, in Jesus' name. Until next time.